here we go. I am Jeff K. This is the Jeff K. Show. We are broadcasting once again from deep. And when I say deep, I mean deep underneath a nondescript home in suburban Pennsylvania. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thanks for finding us. Thanks for listening and all that jazz. As I record this, it's Sunday, early afternoon. I'm getting ready to go, or as we say back home, I'm fixing to go straight into the eye of the storm, to the belly of the beast, to achieve my rock and roll dreams. How's that for melodrama? I'm going to go. I mean, it's still supposed to snow. They've downgraded it a little bit. Yesterday, they were, you know, it looked like Armageddon. But today, it's they're backing off on the snow predictions. And it's one of those things, like, yesterday I was like, these guys don't know what they're doing. They couldn't predict a fart after a Taco Bell lunch. Anyway, all right. So then, but then when they, today, when they're saying, all right, we're downgrading this thing, 1 to 3 tops, might be less, you know. Like, these guys are scientists, you know. These guys know what they're doing, you know. These guys are professionals. These are the best in the business making these predictions, you know. So it depends. It's like one of those deals where it's like if you're following a college football team and one of the players gets caught up in some kind of, you know, whatever, a whoring scandal. You know, you familiar with these whoring scandals? Anyway, one of them gets caught up in something like that. And if it's your team, you're like, these are just young men. They're still trying to find their way in the world. Who among us can say that we've led a perfect life, you know, if it's your team? But if it's a team you hate, you know, another team that's, you know, that you're not invested in, they'd be like, these guys have been coddled their entire lives. They've never heard a discouraging word. It's about time that they're taught a few things about the real world, that the rules are not just for other people, you know. So that's one of those deals. It's like the weather is the same way. Yesterday, it was 6 to 8 inches. I was like, these guys, I mean, yeah, it looks bad. It looks bad for me, you know. But you can't count on these guys knowing what they couldn't find it with both hands, you know. These guys don't know what they're talking about. They couldn't predict 1 hour from now, much less 36 hours, you know. But now today, yeah, it looks like it's not going to be nearly as bad as we thought. Geniuses, these men and women, ladies, these are like professional scientists. These are the best and the brightest, you know. So anyway, 1 to 3 inches is what they're saying, both down in Philadelphia and up here in the upper pierogi belt, both. I think I can navigate 1 to 3 inches. I'm going to take Tony's car down there, all-wheel drive, my old car. I used to drive that thing back and forth to work. That thing will cut through any kind of anything you throw in its way, you know. So I'm going to drive that baby down there, and we're going to go. We're going to see the monochrome set. Oh yeah, I've been a fan of this mysterious. That's a good word for them. Nobody knows who they are, you know, especially in the United States. I don't think people even know who they are in where they're in England, where they're from. So you know, I wouldn't say. I mean, you know, the hipsters know. You know, the people that, you know, the smart people. Anyway. They're gonna be playing the night at some small little place. 175 is the capacity. It's gonna be like seeing them in my living room, you know. Awesome, can't wait. So I'm doing it. Hope for the best, you know. Keep me in your mind, in your prayers, you know. Just say a prayer. Say a little prayer for me and my son, for our rock and roll adventurism, rock and roll daredevil. We'll see how it goes. Hopefully I won't have to spend the night down there. Although I might pack a backpack. Might put a, you know, throw some stuff in a backpack just in case, you know. And maybe I have to spend the night at some Holiday Inn Express or something. So anyway, last night, I want to talk to you today. Last night we were having dinner, 3 out of 4 of us. And somehow it came up the Space Shuttle Challenger explosion. I don't know how that happened, but we started talking about that. We were talking about how where we were. That was definitely one of those "where were you when this happened" situations. And Tony told me she was still in Reno. She grew up in Reno, Nevada, by the way. She said she was still in Reno, and she remembers, you know, vividly when it happened. And I was in Greensboro, North Carolina, working for this shit grocery store. Well, the grocery store was nice, you know, if you didn't work there, if you weren't an employee of the place. You know, I'm sure if you were from the outside, that place is nice. You know, it's a good store. You work there, pure hell. Place sucks. So I was working there overnight with imbeciles and numbskulls, nitwits, etc. And so I was working the overnight shift, stocking the aisles. I've told that story. It's like the cleaning aisle, they called it. All the soaps, all the laundry detergents, all the bleach. The bleach was a thorn in my side. Anyway, I was working at that stupid place. You know, just, I come home dejected, demoralized, sad, you know, I feel like I've hit rock bottom, you know, despondent. You know, it's just a normal day. And I go home, probably stopped up Bojangles, you know. You familiar with the Bojangles phenomenon? It's a southern fast food chain. So I stopped at Bojangles. It's not Bojangles, it's Bojangles. And probably got like some kind of breakfast sandwich, rifled that thing down in short order. And was getting, you know, preparing to hit the sack, sleeping in the day, working at night. Oh, that'll mess you up, brother. I hated it. I was tired all the time. There was not a moment of the day or night when I wasn't just, felt like I was just exhausted, you know. So anyway, so I was getting ready to go to bed. I had this radio, I had this stereo. It was like a shelf stereo sitting on my dresser. And I was living by myself at the time. And I had that thing on. I was listening to some rock station. And they were doing, you know, they were saying, the space shuttle is getting ready to launch, you know. And they were playing all these, like, songs having to do with space, you know, like Space Cowboy by Steve Miller, stuff like that. And, you know, really some original programming. I mean, this is like cutting edge, innovative shit that they were doing. Playing anything that had to do with space, they were playing as a lead up to this space shuttle launch that was getting ready to happen. So, and then they were playing that Space Control to Major Tom, whatever. What is that song? That David Bowie song? I don't know. I don't want to get controversial here, but never was a huge David Bowie fan. Does that shock you? I mean, are you even allowed to say that? I mean, I might get arrested. I could be arrested for saying something like that. Anyway, never was a huge Bowie fan. I didn't hate him, but never was. I never fully embraced the whole Bowie thing. But anyway, they were playing that Ground Control to Major Tom song. And, you know, another predictable choice by the good old boys over at whatever, Rock 92 or whatever the shit. And so the guy breaks in. He, like, breaks into the song, and he goes, apparently the space shuttle has just exploded. It's like, what the hell is this? This thing's taking a dark turn. Is this like more of his comedy, you know? So I go in the living room, fire up the TV, turn on CNN, and, you know, they're showing that thing. I don't know if you remember, if you were around. It was like it exploded and went in two different directions. It was like a wishbone-shaped thing. And there, it's like the thing blew up, you know? And it was they were showing, like, there was like a school teacher on there, a female school teacher that was on that thing. They were showing her parents, like the camera was on their face the entire time while the thing blows up, and they're like standing there looking up, trying to figure out what just happened. You know, is that supposed to happen? What is going on? So that's where I was. I was crazy, you know. That's definitely one of those where were you when things. I was getting ready to go to bed after a long night of shelf stocking, you know. I jotted down a few more that off the top of my head of where were you, and I thought I'd bring you up to date, and then you guys can feel free to jump in and tell me where you were on these when these things happened as well. At the top of the list, one of the ones that really was a gut punch to me was when John Lennon got killed, when he got shot in the back by an animal on the streets of New York. I was a huge Beatles fan back when, you know, like junior high days. I mean, I was a giant snob. I became a snob where I was like, my the way I thought, and I, you know, you can say what you want, but this is the way I thought. The Beatles are the best. It's, you know, it's, you can't even hardly argue that. They're the best band ever. So why waste time listening to anybody but the Beatles, you know? What's the point of listening to a lesser than band? You know, that's the way I thought for a while. And so, you know, by the time he got murdered, I had moved on. You know, I'd branched out into all kinds of, that was like fully engrossed in all manner of music. And, but still hugely giant fondness for the Beatles. I mean, how could you not? God. So anyway, I guess they announced it on Monday Night Football the night before. Howard Cosell, you know, announced it on there. But I didn't watch football. I mean, come on. You know, that's definitely not in my wheelhouse. And it's weird because apparently nobody watched the 11 o'clock news. Or did he announce it after 11 o'clock? I don't know. But we didn't know about it. Nobody in our house knew about it. So the next morning, and I guess nobody had the TV on in the morning either, so, and there's no cell phones, there's no internet, there's no nothing. Cut off, you know? So the next morning, Steve calls me, and he goes, "Did you hear what happened last night?" I was like, "I don't know, I don't know what you're talking about." And he told me John Lennon got murdered, shot. It was like somebody slugged me in the gut, you know? Still makes me sick. The guy was 40 years old, you know. The guy could have, I mean, just think of all the songs that we are robbed of. It's all about us. It's not about him, right? No, I'm joking. But anyway, John struck down by an animal in the streets of New York. And I can remember exactly where we were standing or where I was standing when he called me. And man, that was a blow. That was one of the biggies. I was standing in the kitchen. We had one of those wall telephones on the wall with the long cord, the kind where you can just, like, you know, walk all the way into the living room, through the dining room, into the living room, still be talking. Man, that was the original mobile phone, you know. So that was a big one. And they also had the record store, Budget Tapes and Records, which is still open, by the way. That was the cool record store in Charleston. I can remember they put a black wreath on their front door, and they took all the Beatles albums and solo records off the floor. They would not sell them because they felt like it was they would be exploiting the Beatles, or exploiting John Lennon, I guess, if they did that. So for a week, they took all the records off the floor, and they had this big fancy black wreath on the front door. It was a big deal, man. Everybody was talking about it. They even had a candlelight vigil up in Charleston. That was a heartfelt memorial, you know, Charleston, West Virginia candlelight vigil for John Lennon. We went to it, by the way. My brother was on the news. Oh, man. Anyway, that was a big deal. That was terrible. That was one of those ones that was like, you just can't believe it. Even when I think about it now, it makes me sick. Let's see what else I have listed on here. Nixon, when Nixon resigned. You know, I was like 11. I think I was 11 years old when that happened. I was out playing wiffle ball in my friend Tim Smith's backyard. And, you know, some neighborhood kids were playing wiffle ball, just like we did every day. And I knew Nixon was in some kind of trouble. I didn't know. I didn't really understand the ins and outs of it. But my grandfather watched all that Watergate stuff. And I'd walk through there, and there would be these guys sitting behind these long tables just, you know, droning on and on. I'm like, I don't know what the hell's going on. But anyway, I knew he was in some kind of trouble. I knew the phrase Watergate, but I didn't really understand it. And then I came home, so I was 11. And I mean, I don't remember Johnson, President Johnson. I don't remember that. So Nixon, at that point, Nixon was the only president I'd ever known. I mean, I didn't even know anybody else other than President Nixon. And he's on TV saying he's stepping down, you know. So that was kind of, you know, I mean, I was like 11, and I wasn't really fully invested, clearly. But, you know, I was like, wow. You know, I couldn't believe it. But so I remember that. Wiffle ball. It was all about the wiffle ball. Let's see what else I have. Reagan, when Reagan got shot, I was in high school. I came home, and my grandmother, my mother's mother, who lived across the street from us, she was like this. She was a saint, you know. She had this point of view, possibly naive, let's be honest, where everybody's, you know, there's not really any bad, and everybody's good, you know. Everything's good at all times. You know, she didn't think there was any kind of evil in the world or anything like that. And every once in a while, when something like this would happen, when Reagan got, somebody just like busted a cap, you know, and Ronald Reagan, I mean, that turned her worldview upside down briefly. She rebounded back to her positive self. But I can remember when I came home from school that day, we were walking home on the railroad tracks. Everybody was talking about it. I guess somehow we knew about it. I got home, my grandmother was like, you know, you could tell that her worldview had been shaken temporarily, you know, but, you know, she rebounded quickly and went back to her positive self. Man, that glass is always half full. She was half full all the time. So that's the thing I remember mostly about that. Also, I was like into, you know, by that time I was listening to punk rock and reading like all the punk rock magazines and stuff, and they all hated Reagan. You know, I didn't know. All I knew at that point was I was supposed to hate Reagan. You know, I don't know what the fuck. I had no idea what I was talking about, you know. But anyway, I was like, well, there you go. You know, you reap what you sow. That was my opinion. Oh, man, deep. I was a deep thinker. Still am to this day. So anyway, that was that's my memory of that. Let's see what else I got on here. Oh, Princess Diana. I wouldn't have this on the list, but it's a biggie for Tony. We were out in California at the time, and we'd just gone out to dinner at this place called Sisley, Sisley, in Valencia, California. And it's not super high-end, semi-fancy, you know, Italian place. And Tony would always get some kind of shellfish, you know. I'm like, I don't know, you know, I don't eat crustaceans, you know, or any kind of shit off the ocean floor, you know. And I always say, you're gonna get sick off that stuff, man. And but she got it all the time. She still does. And so this night, I don't know if it was the same night or if it was the next night, she had like shrimp, those little grub worms. Ugh. Those things are sick. Ugh. But anyway, she had shrimp scampi or some shit, and got super sick, you know. She had she was exploding both directions. She was exploding east as well as west. You know what I'm saying? It was coming out of both ends. So she was in a full state of misery, you know. Complete, and then this Princess Diana show came on. I don't Anyway, you know, it was like all in the news, and they said that she had been in some kind of like terrible car accident inside a tunnel. Very weird. So we were sitting in our living room in California, out in Santa Clarita. Oh, man. And watching this thing, Tony's like in a state of 100% misery, about ready to, you know, she's about ready to call it quits. And we can't believe that there's this terrible accident, you know. And it didn't seem like she was like, she might die or anything. Then suddenly they're just like, we have confirmed that, you know, Princess Diana or Lady Diana, whatever they call her, Lady Diana has passed away. It's like, what the? Couldn't believe it. And I could just remember it mostly because we watched the whole thing. We're sitting on the floor for some reason in front of the TV watching this thing as it unfolded. It just kept getting worse and worse. And Tony's like some kind of shell. She's in shellfish misery over there. Told her. Everybody loves somebody that says, told you so. You know, I just had some kind of, I don't know what I had, spaghetti and meatballs. You know, it's a pretty safe bet, you know. I'm not eating that crap. You know, anyway, I don't want to get off on that. But anyway, that's what I remember about Lady Diana. What else? OJ, the Bronco chase. I don't remember. I remember watching that, but I can't recall where I was. I don't know. It was Atlanta. I was definitely in Atlanta. And I remember seeing it live. But I guess I was home. I was just home. Lived out in Stone Mountain at the time. That was our first house. And I probably just sat there and watched it on TV. I don't really recall where I was. I do recall where I was when they read the verdict for his trial. I remember where I was at. I was driving from work and listening to it on the radio, and I couldn't believe it. I was like, how? How could you come to that conclusion? Are you serious? It was crazy. But so I don't really remember where I was when the Bronco chase, but I do remember watching. I watched it live. It was crazy, insane. But I must have been just sitting in my house in Stone Mountain, Georgia. What else we got here? Kurt Cobain. These are the ones I wrote down. That when they found Kurt Cobain dead, he'd been dead for a couple days, so this wasn't the actual day he committed suicide, but the day they found him, I mean, now he'd already attempted this thing a couple times, so this wasn't any kind of like surprise to anybody, but for some reason it was another one of those shockers. It was pretty shocking. And I remember, I think we were at work when we found out about this. I was working at WIA Atlanta, and when we got home, MTV was back when they used to have like a news division, or they pretended to. They had Kurt Loder, you know, as the face of the news, MTV News. And he was on there, and they had like psychologists on there. You know, this is a very upsetting day for you guys, but, you know, you keep it in perspective. He was, you know, they had psychologists on there talking people off the ledge, you know, because people were so upset about this all around the world. So that's what I remember mostly about that. It was the MTV trying to talk teenagers and young people off the ledge. It was fairly shocking for some reason. I don't know why that one. You know, I liked Nirvana. You know, I saw them in concert in Atlanta at the Omni. They were one of these bands that would probably be fantastic to see inside of a club or a small theater. But I saw them at the Omni, you know, this big cavernous place, you know, where like ZZ Top might play or somebody like that. Queen. I saw Metallica there. Paul Simon. I saw Paul Simon there. There's like 25 people on stage. People shaking gourds and stuff. Man. Anyway, they got kind of lost in that big old giant, in that giant venue when I saw them. You couldn't even tell one song from another. It was just a roar, just a noise. Sounded like somebody had like a vacuum cleaner backstage and somebody was holding a microphone. up to it, and it was like pumped through like 100,000 watts or something, you know. It's like a huge, it's just a loud roar. You couldn't even discern one song from the other. So that was right, I mean, right before he died. I mean, I think he'd had it by that point. So I was a fan, but for some reason that Kurt Cobain thing, that was a gut punch too. Not like the John Lennon level, but people were like sincerely upset about that. And MTV was concerned people were gonna start like throwing themselves off buildings and stuff. So that's what I remember about that. And the biggie, of course, 9/11. I was at work. I was here. I was in Pennsylvania, and I was at my old job. And the internet was still in the early days, you know, and you couldn't get on any of the. First, I remember somebody said an airplane ran into one of the Twin Towers in New York. And people were like, "Ah, it's probably some, you know, probably one of those little airplanes, those personal planes that people crash all the time." But then, you know, as the news started coming in. You couldn't get on the internet. The internet was locked down, you know, because so many people were trying to access all the news sites. Everything was like shut down. You couldn't access anything. And the thing just kept getting worse and worse. And eventually my job, I work for Warner Home Video. So they're, you know, Warner Brothers out in Burbank. They just said, all right, everybody just go home, you know. So they just sent everybody home. Since I was like out in the field, they said, you can go home too. So I just went home and watched it on TV, and it was like unbelievable. I mean, that thing was like, I mean, you know, obviously. But we had our new dog, Andy, at the time. He was a pup, the late great Andy, you know. We'd only had him for 2 days. And I can remember we took him out for a walk that afternoon, and there was nobody out. Everything was quiet. Nobody, there was no cars. It was like the Twilight Zone. One of those, you know, there was no movement in the neighborhood. We just walked him around, and there was nobody. Everybody was in their houses watching TV. It was crazy. So that's where I was at on 9/11. Watched that thing all day long, deep into the night. Wild, wild day. So that brings us to the end of this thing. We're gonna go. I'm gonna fire up the old what do you call that thing? What is that car? Suzuki. That little Suzuki. That thing will cut through anything, brother. We're going straight into the belly of the beast in our rock and roll adventure. We are the Rock and Roll Daredevils, heading on into Philly in a driving snowstorm to see the Monochrome set. The Monochrome set, I've been talking to them through Facebook. They told me to be careful. So, isn't that crazy? You can talk to rock bands, you know. They're on their bus heading into Philly. And then they were talking with their fans. And they told me to be careful. So there you go. It's a heartfelt proclamation from the Monochrome set. And I'm going to call it quits here. I'm going to get ready, and we're going to head on out. So I'll be back. Well, I'll try to update the Surf Report on Monday with an update on how it went. And if not, it'll be Tuesday. If I have to spend the night down there, it'll be Tuesday. But I'll be back. I'll let you guys know how it went. Wish me luck. You guys have yourself a fine, fine week. I will be back on Thursday over at Patreon. Oh, by the way, if you want to double down and you want to listen to those Thursday shows, you can do it. Head on over to patreon.com/JeffK. That's patreon.com/JeffK. Sign up for a $4 or more patronage. That's a monthly donation. Stick it on a credit card, $4 a month or more. You can go higher. You know, you're not locked in at $4. But four will give you access to the Thursday show. So it's a good deal. You know, you pay $4, you get 4 bonus episodes a month. What do you think about that? That's a pretty good deal. Or you can go for any amount above four. You know, you can go, I don't know, I'm just pulling numbers. I mean, $700 a month. You know, whatever works for you, you can do it. There's no limits, I don't think. I don't know. What do I know about it? But anyway, $4 will unlock the audio. So head on over there today, as soon as the music stops playing. Sign up for a patronage, and you'll double down on the Jeff K. Show. You'll get two of them a week instead of just a measly one. So do it now. And I'm gonna wind her down and head on down to Philadelphia. And you guys wish me luck. I'll be back on Thursday over at Patreon. I'll do a surf report update on Monday or Tuesday with a full concert and weather update. And I'll see you guys again soon. Have a great one. I'll see you. Bye. You know, just I come home dejected, demoralized, sad. You know, I feel like I've hit rock bottom. You know, despondent. You know, it's just a normal day.